Hello, welcome to the Lately in JavaScript podcast hangout. This is episode 49, and after a long time struggling again with Google Hangouts, finally, I think we got started. And I'm Manuel Lemos, and once again, I'm here with me, Artur Sosins from Latvia. How are you doing, Artur?
Yeah, hello. Kind of cold, actually, the winter is coming.
Yeah, but well, I thought you were going to say you were tired of struggling with the Google system.
Well, most struggling is on you don't have a lower third, it doesn't show your camera, but at least now you can be thankful that you're not an elephant.
Yeah, you know? Yes, that's the good part. This time we have as mascot, totally unrelated with JavaScript, but this is also about PHP classes, because it's the brother site of JS classes that is promoting this hangout. This time we have the elephant. But we are here to talk about the latest happenings in JavaScript world, and we are going to start right away with some news about jQuery 3.0. Basically, it doesn't say what is the most important information people wanted to know, which is basically when it will be released. But they mention a few things about what they plan to do in this version of 3.0. They plan to have two versions, one called Compat and the other it's the regular one. And the Compat one is meant to include code or whatever is necessary to make it work with the old browsers. And, well, old browsers does not mean those very old. It means IE8, Opera 12, Safari 5. They don't even mention Chrome or Firefox because most people have already upgraded to the latest versions. And other than that, they mentioned that if you are going to develop for a platform on which you are certain that what the browser will be, like for instance, if you are developing for mobile applications based on PhoneGap or Cordova, they encourage you to use the regular jQuery 3.0.0. Other than that, both versions will provide the same public API, so it will be no trouble to switch between one version on the other. So I think this is to make developers happier, so they do not need to deal so much with the difference between the libraries. Artur, have you been following me? News about jQuery 3. Have you been using jQuery in your application somehow? What are your thoughts about this?
I think it's hard to find a JavaScript front-end developer that would not be using jQuery in one way or another. Of course I've been using it and been following it. And I think the main point of the article is to calm the users, because there was a concern that jQuery's second version deprecated some older browsers, and what will be in the future, how will developers could handle the older versions. And this article answers the question that there would be a compatibility version that would reuse the base code from the jQuery first version and the main version that would reuse the code from jQuery second version. So it answers this question, this uncertainty, what would the developers do to support older browsers. So I think that was the main point.
Yeah, I think it's good, because since many people use jQuery, they will be always interested to know what to the eventually new features and new improvements of the latest version, just because they will always want more and better things, but I think most people that are already using older jQuery versions are quite happy, probably are not so concerned about the new features, which this article, from what I read, does not tell much, right?
No, basically seems it would have the same API and nothing much newer. Nothing that would break compatibility also.
Yes, and since it also doesn't answer the question, what will be the expected release date, so there is not much to announce for now.
Yeah.
So given that, let's move on to the next topic, which is related with an article that personally I found interesting. And it is called Seven Principles of Rich Web Applications. Well, basically, it is just common sense about what the way things should work. And let's take a look at each one of them. The first one is, it says, server rendered pages are not optional. Actually, it mentions server rendering is not about SEO. It's about performance. I suppose they are talking about the fact that if you try to push some HTML templates and start rendering them on the browser side, it will eventually take more time than if you already served the HTML already rendered. And personally, yeah, that's something
also,
that we...
Also, the AJAX request would basically be the same as the solution that the server would not need to render it and only provide data, and it would be processed on the client side.
Yeah. And they also are mentioning HTTP 2.0 push of resources. But I think it's something that is not yet widely spread, so that's why they say in the future. And the second point, let's see. Oh, it's faster to go back and go forward. Act immediately on user input. This perfectly says it all. Just to make it the application responsive. Not responsive in the sense of adapting to the different screens, but adapting to the user input. So if the user acts, pushes a button, he expects something to happen immediately, not 10 seconds later. Just because your application is busy, maybe it should show a sign that it's busy, so the user know what is going on. And this is terrible, especially on slow devices, for instance, mobile devices that are either old or slow for some reason. Some applications become very unresponsive, and we don't know if you did not push, did not touch the screen hard enough, or it is just the application that is not acting in a responsive way. So this is, should be pretty obvious. The next one. React to change this data. This is also to be responsive, but not responsive regarding the user input, but rather change of information, change of status of something that your application depends.
Yeah, for example, the company I work for provides real-time analytics. So if you open a dashboard, you want to see the data displayed immediately when it's updated in the database.
Yeah. And
something like that.
Exactly. And this is as important as the previous point. And the next one is that it says control the data exchange with the server. And this is to provide user friendly handling of errors and other stuff. Sometimes your application depends on connecting to the server to obtain some information, and for some reason the network is not working very well. And maybe you should tell that there is some difficulty to connect, rather than waiting forever, not telling anything to the user. And well, basically, I think that's it. And the next point, don't break history, enhance it. This is regarding web applications dealing with back and forth buttons. Sometimes the user does not click on buttons to leave a certain page, he just clicks on back. And your browser should be able to, your application should be able to deal with this. For instance, when it returns to a page that is in a certain state, it is important to use the push state history. So if the user changes anything in the previous page, it should go back exactly to where, what the page was. And they mention here history push state precising because of what I said.
But you can actually make much more. For example, there could be some kind of configuration like a table where you sort of filter data, and you can also persistently save these settings. So when the user gets back to it, they are also like there. Or there was an example about scrolling position. Well, you can enhance it even further if you want.
Right. In certain cases, the browsers are able to preserve the scroll position, but in others, it could do much because probably you switch some tabs to become invisible or not, and that changes the scroll position. And if you are not able to restore the tabs that were visible or not, probably it will become confusing to the user. So the next point is push code updates. Well, I'm not sure about this, but I think this refers to when you are improving your application, probably some code on the, I mean, some JavaScript code or even CSS code was changed, and your application should work in such a way that it should actually push the right version. And personally, I use that technique. Actually, I've been using it lately, not all the time, but let's check it here. It should be in a package page. For instance, I put the number. I put the timestamp as parameter. Some URLs. I'm opening up the right page. Yes, this is a bit. I'm not sure if I can put this further. It's not very readable. But okay, I think you can see it here. I put timestamp parameters just to make sure that next time the browser loads this JavaScript, this is actually a static file, but I put this parameter that does not mean anything, but just for the browser to not keep loading the old version from a cache or something like that. And I use this formula of versioning just to make sure that if a user was using an old version and that suddenly as a newer version, yeah, since the URL will be different, it won't load the old version anymore from the cache. And I think that's what it means here.
Most probably, yes.
Okay, and the next point, predict behavior. They call it negative latency, which means that you not only you need to react immediately, but if you can react with anticipation, anticipate what the user will do, what the user will need, your application application will be eventually much more usable. And I think all these recommendations are quite great. They are just common sense. Personally, I agree with all of them. What about you, Arthur?
Yes, the suggestions are most of them, I think, each apps. I don't think that you could apply them for any cases, but it most of it really enriches and user experience if you follow. Yes.
Yeah. Well, now moving on to the next topic. There is an article here. I found it curious because it talks about the console object, which at least me, I've only been using that function console log just to dump some debug information to the browser console and see what is going on. But they are mentioning here in this article five functions of the console object you didn't know. So this certainly applies to me. I didn't know any of these functions. Assert, table, profile, group, and time. Well, I don't know. Were all these functions available since a long time ago, or they are more recent? Arthur, what do you aware of these functions?
Actually, yeah, I think I saw something like that, some article before, but didn't really pay attention. And actually, I wish I would knew some of them before. Like console table could be a real time saver when you want to see what's inside the object. And stuff like profile or time are also probably used in the browser tools, like developer tools. It's probably something similar is used internally. I usually use it for the same purpose, but yeah, you can also do some custom debugging using these methods. So yeah, they're actually quite nice to see.
Yeah. Well, so given that, let's move on to the next topic, which is about something that you should be more familiar than I, which is about something that we actually mentioned in the last episode, which because it is related with hardware devices that can be controlled with JavaScript. In this case, it's SilentJS. Arthur, you seem to have been playing with some devices that can benefit from SilentJS. What is your experience?
Yes, well, I'm participating in one side project that tries to develop a controller to control other smart devices. And we were looking for different frameworks to use. And SilentJS was one of the ones we found. And actually, it was quite great. At the time, I had a Sphero device, so I needed to make it working with our controller, and yeah, I used the SilentJS. It was really easy to set up and to start working with it. The only problem was that at the time it was a Node.js a server side, so if you want to control it from the browser, I would have to create a WebSocket connection to the Node.js and then try some data input. As now I see from this article, you can actually browserify it and run from the browser directly, which is even better. And as they say later, they will also provide the PhoneGap example, so you could also control these devices from the app in your phone, which also runs JavaScript. So yeah, JavaScript everywhere, and SilentJS is the best framework for the robotics. It controls lots of devices. You can look at the platforms. There are lots of devices listed there, and if you're into robotics and into JavaScript, then that's the way to go.
So if I got this right, this is a framework with the drivers for different devices, right?
Yeah, well, they are called drivers, but it's like a wrapper to wrap the API that the device understands.
This sounds great. For those that want to play with hardware, this sounds like a great framework. So, well, it's just to mention it a bit more than we mentioned in the previous episode, there is this article here, running robots from your browser with the 7.js. Not a very long article like the previous one, but it should give you an idea how simple it is to make it work. To integrate with this framework. So now moving on to the next topic. Now let's talk something relatively new. I have not tried it yet, so I hope I'm not misunderstanding it. Basically, is what Mozilla is calling Firefox Developer Edition. I'll try to look at the available information. I did not try it in practice. My first impression, this is basically what Chrome already has, and probably with a few more things. And from what I could understand, those few more things are like, for instance, what they call the web IDE, the page. It's all in Portuguese here because it insists that I want things in Portuguese. Let me put it in English. It has several built-in add-ons, if I can call them so. It mentions it is Web IDE, Responsive Design View. This is something interesting. It seems to be very similar to one thing that Chrome has introduced recently, and I find it very useful because it lets you try your web pages in different resolutions to see how your responsive site is handling it well or not. Then there is Valance. Develop and debug your apps across multiple browsers and devices with this powerful extension. I'm not sure. I think this is to try the your applications in practice. We emulate in different browsers, right? Or is it the Web IDE? I'm not sure because these is extensions or whatever they are called seem to be connected to each other.
Yes, they are.
I don't know.
They are components of the browser. I've also installed one to try it out to see how it is while we were fighting with the Google Hangouts. And if you can see on the screen that here is their IDE. I would probably prefer a better, like a more simpler text editor. But here you have a whole project, and so you need a project manifest to make it work. So if I want to convert my existing kind of web pages, I would need to create such project manifest. Probably could also add files here. No, it doesn't seem that I could add files here.
Where are those files? Are those on the server or?
No, maybe those are local file. That one of the problems that I found out, actually, I don't know how would you manage a project that is with a backend, which like is tied to the backend.
That is the purpose. Maybe the intention is that you just use it for developing, not for deploying.
Probably, yes. So you can just write a front on here and then add it to it, combine it as a backend. But the idea is that you could actually, easily run it, and you can select runtimes. It's not like there is also some kind of simulator. I did not install it yet. You can also connect to others on your computer. So remotely connect to them and upset on them and debug or working on another browser. So that's the cool feature. That's what they call, I think, the Valance.
Yeah. So in practice, it is all there. It's not a separate thing.
Yeah, it's all inside the browser.
They also have a web audio editor, page inspector, web console, JavaScript debugger, network monitor, style editor. This is more or less things that already existed in developer tools of browsers since quite some time ago. But I thought it was interesting because it was mentioning that you could actually see how it would look on different devices, different types of OS, like iOS, Android, and even Firefox OS, which is something that they want to promote, of course. But I could not get exactly if it was just an emulation or they're trying to load it in real web views of those browsers, of those platforms. It's just an emulation of basic networks. Well, this is interesting, and I suspect that we probably will be talking more about this in future episodes of the Lately in JavaScript podcast, because it's always interesting to know more about these improvements in developer tools. So, moving on, we're going to talk now about an interesting article that is somewhat unusual, which is talking about how you can sort of embed JavaScript inside of pictures. And this all sounds to not be for a good thing, probably. Somebody that keeps about security matters, because if you can inject JavaScript on a picture file, maybe you can mislead some vulnerable system to believe that an image is a type of file that is to handle and that it can be that the system can be tricked to interpret it as JavaScript rather than a picture. And what they mention here is basically that for instance, the GIF format, it starts with GIF 89A, and then this is the header of the file. It's binary, so right after that, there is some bytes that define the size of the picture, and if they can use this combination to define, for instance, the width, this when considered as individual characters, they will be the slash and the asterisk, which are used in JavaScript, of course, in many languages to start a comment. That means that whatever comes after that, it is interpreted as a comment, and after the end of the comment, they can put some code, like assign it to some value, and GIF89 will be treated as a variable, and then there could come some code that could be used for some malicious purpose. So, for instance, if you inject a script tag that loads the URL of a picture, but which in reality is JavaScript, you can be injecting malicious JavaScript in a web page. But of course, this is a hypothetical scenario on which you would have a vulnerable application that could be exploited with tips like this. I could not fully imagine a real scenario on which this exploited, but I remember that some time ago some similar exploit was implemented in PHP. So the problem was not in PHP, but the way people use certain PHP commands. For instance, they used to have if they want to serve a picture that was uploaded by a user to the server, instead of using some file reading command, they use script interpreting commands like include or require. And this is bad because those commands were not for those purposes, but there are people that do not know exactly what they are doing because they are not very mature as developers. And they could also benefit from these kinds of exploits of putting comments and then replacing the code with something that could execute some exploit that could, for instance, steal data from the server. But that was on PHP side. On the JavaScript side, I cannot fully imagine a possible scenario this can be exploited, but I'm sure somebody already thought of that. So just be aware that do not do stupid things like confusing pictures with JavaScript code. So now moving on to the next topic. Now it's time to talk about the Innovation Award of the JavaScript 2014. We are going to start talking about the winners of September. Actually, this month there are not many nominees as before. There were just three and all got tied with the same vote, so they all got number one. And okay, let's talk about them. Artus, please go ahead and talk about what you thought were the most interesting.
Yeah, so the first one is... let me try to share it first. So the first one is Format.js class developed by Pierre from France, and what it does, it returns the date formatted according to your country specifics. I was interested in how he actually do it because, well, there is no general rule how you could generate it, and he just stores the formats for different countries inside, so he has this information. And if you need it, it's a handy class that extends the date object, and you can format the date to any specific country that you need. And Pierre got one downloadable webhook of choice by O'Reilly for this class.
Yeah.
The second one is a JS Webcam class. Let me load it here. JS Webcam class developed by Elgar. And what it does, it uses the API to retrieve pictures or video from the your computer's webcam. Basically, it can retrieve binary data and then display it, for example, in the website data URLs. It's also a really neat package. And Elgar bought one book of choice by PACT for this class.
So on my behalf, I would like to talk about the remaining one, which is a package for a somewhat unusual purpose. I mean, unusual for most types of applications that you would find on the web, JavaScript Big Validator. And this big standard is a format for defining codes for containers that are transported with products around the world in ships or maybe trucks. And this one is a package developed by Samir Semna from India. And what it does, it validates the code because a big code has certain conventions, and it can take the code, compute the check digit, and verify if it is correctly formatted. So it is an interesting package for people that for some reason need to deal with containers that are transported around the world. And for this this award, Samir picked a prize which in the case was 1 year of code-heavy developer-hosted cloud IDE premium plan. So I hope he's enjoying this cloud IDE. And for the Innovation Award of this month, we talk about our winners. So let's see how it is the what is the ranking of the Innovation Award winners of 2014. Individually, Thomas Björk from Sweden continues to lead with 4 packages and 15 points, then followed by David Castillo with 2 packages and 13 points, and now followed by Pierre Fouque with 3 packages and 12 points. Then and with Jordan Marmolejo from Spain with 2 packages and 10 points. And then several others with one or more packages but less points. By country, so far France is leading now with 5 packages and 21 points, followed by Sweden, 4 packages and 15 points. Then Mexico with 2 packages and 13 points, Spain 3 packages and 12 points, Italy with 3 packages and 8 points, Canada 3 packages and 7 points, India with 2 packages and 6 points. Then there are several other countries with only 1 package and less points. Well, unfortunately, this month we have had less nominees, so there are not so many people sending packages to participate in the award. Previously, I mentioned that the JS classes had a boost in the traffic from Google because there are some recovery of some Google algorithms. But then it dropped again for some reason that I'm not sure what happened. But what happens is that, unfortunately, many new packages are sent by new users, and that if the site gets new users, less new users, it also gets less new packages. So let's see if in the future things recover. Many sites are being affected by Google algorithm fluctuation. Not just JS classes and others, to a certain point also PHP classes, but the PHP class is much more popular. So let's see if things improve in the future. Anyway, so for now I hope the current users keep sending great packages so we can keep talking about them. Okay, so with this we practically ended this podcast. It was quite long because it tried to record several things at the same time with all the hassles of Google Hangouts, but finally we reached to the end. I'd like to thank you, Hartus, again for the time and the patience of recording yet another Hangout that should be less than 1 hour. It took more than 2 hours. But I think we made it with some audio breakups or not. Reach to them. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Just one thing before I mention, before I leave. I'm not sure yet if there will be a recording next month because I'll be traveling. I'll be spending Christmas in my home country, Portugal. I'll try to see if we can record it from there, but I cannot promise there will be time to do it. Maybe there will not be no recording, but if there will be a recording, it will be posted in the usual places. So now that's all for this episode. Bye.
Bye.